But it's always an honor, always a privilege to be here with you. And, happy Mother's Day, as Pastor Bill said, to all the moms and mom figures out there, those listening and watching online. We pray that you have a blessed day, and we truly are thankful for moms. So, this morning we're going to be kind of jumping around a little bit in the Bible, but, I've never preached on a Mother's Day, sermon. And it's probably a wise thing that they've kept me away, It's wisdom. But needless to say, I was a little nervous when I was asked. And, I prayed. And I believe the Lord has shown me where to go with this. So with all that, let's pray. And Lord, we thank you again so much for this day, this Mother's Day, for every mom that is here and watching online. Lord, thank you. For them. We thank you for their lives. We ask as I look at your word and as I share what you have given me, I pray that it will be you speaking and not me. I pray, Lord, that every heart in this place, every daughter, every son, every mom, every dad, everyone, their hearts will be softened and willing and able and ready to receive what your word says to them, Lord. Your word is powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, Lord, now. Let it do what the word of God does and divide and pierce the heart of those who hear. We ask for your glory, that you, through your Holy Spirit, move in this place. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 So before we get into the word, I'd like to start with something that the CDC and the NIH have decided to do with the term mother. So what they are trying to do, or they say that moms or mothers should be referred to as birthing person. Yeah. Oh, you're going to like this one. Birthing person or chest feeders. Well, I can care less what the CDC and the NIH and all the political correct culture is trying to push in this nation. It's mothers. It's moms. The Word of God. From Genesis 3:20, when Adam called Eve, Eve says she is the mother of all living. So the CDC and the NIH can take a hike. We're not buying that. It's Mother's Day. Amen? See? There you go. We got that out of the way. So the title of my message, it's A Most Vital Ministry. A Most Vital Ministry. So if you please turn with me to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 1. And as you turn there, we're going to be covering the first five verses. And I'll read. It says, verse 1, 2 Timothy chapter 1 says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, a beloved son. Grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus, our Lord. Verse 3, I thank God, whom I serve with a pure conscience, as my forefathers did, as without ceasing I remember you in my prayers, night and day. 4, greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears, that I may be filled with joy. Verse 5, when I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I'm persuaded is in you also. Now, it's been my prayer that everyone listening to this message here or online or wherever, that moms, grandmas, mother figures, that you would leave this place encouraged, re-energized, blessed, having heard from the Lord. God cares for moms. Amen? And we're going to get into all that here in a minute. But to give you a small recap of who Timothy is, because we're going to be talking about him quite a bit. Timothy, we know of him that he was a young man. In Acts 16, verses 1 through 5, you can read about Timothy, how Paul met him in Lystra on his first missionary trip. In his second missionary trip, he was still there, and he had a great reputation. And we know of him that, according to Acts 16, His mom, Eunice, was a believer, but his father was a Greek. That's all we know about Timothy's dad. So, with all that, you know, he is a person that is, as you read through 1 and 2 Timothy, that God used mightily in assisting Paul and serving with him. And then he's also going to pass the baton. He's going to continue the ministry that Paul started. An incredible individual. So with that, let's read. Verse 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, a beloved son. Grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. Again, we gather from Acts 16 that Timothy's dad was probably not a believer. We don't know that he turned into a Christian later in life or not, but we know that mom was. But Paul is addressing Timothy as a beloved son. The power of that statement, I can picture Timothy listening to or reading the letter. It's like, Paul is calling me a son. So Paul was Timothy's spiritual father, okay? And we can talk about that a lot. But today is about mom. And he says, a beloved son. I must wonder how Timothy felt when he heard that, when he read that. And, you know, I think as a young preacher, he would have been beyond blessed to hear that. Verse 3, Paul says to him, I thank God, whom I serve with a pure conscience as my forefathers did, as without ceasing I remember you in my prayers night and day. The prayers of those leaders are so valuable, and I'm going to talk about that in a minute too. Greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears, that I may be filled with joy. Now, Paul, again, Timothy's spiritual father, prays for him, sustains him, and, you know, Paul is as much as a part of Timothy's life as Timothy is part of Paul's life. You know, they're... can you take me down just a little bit? I think I sound like I'm in a well. But anyway, in verse... I want you to keep this in mind as we look at the next verse, verse 5, because we're going to get to the root cause. Who's this young man, Timothy? I mean, he is well spoken of. Paul drafted him into the ministry. I mean, he has a great testimony. He's an anointed man. He's the man. I love Timothy. Well, we're going to get to where it all came from, okay? Verse 5, when I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother, Lois, and in your mother, Eunice, and I'm persuaded that is in you also. Paul is pointing back Timothy's faith, genuine faith. The word there, genuine, I'm going to destroy this, is anipokritos, which means undisguised, sincere, and without hypocrisy. He has a real faith. And Paul is saying that faith dwelt in grandma and in mom, Timothy, and I'm persuaded that it's in you also. You see where this whole coming from, moms? Oh, now I got all the moms in the room. It's like, yeah, yeah, you got it. No, I don't. Paul is, I got it, okay? But the most vital ministry. Throughout the message today, I want you to keep this as a background, as a backdrop, I should say, of this man, Timothy, and what he is and what he's going to do. Moms and grandmothers play a huge role in the lives of those us kids. A most vital ministry. We read in 2 Timothy 3:11 that from his childhood, Timothy, he said, you have known the Holy Scriptures from your childhood, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. So from his childhood, grandma and mom were teaching young Timothy the Holy Scriptures. Thus, that work began as a young man to prepare him. There is so much. It is so vital what... as parents, today is about mom, but moms can pour into their kids for the future. Let me read to you about Mauro Graham, as of Billy Graham's mom. It says, this is what we know of her. Mauro Graham, fame comes from her son, the evangelist, Billy Graham. But it is her influence on him that he says was essential to his coming to know Christ. It was nothing spectacular, but a daily consistency in her faith that was essential in shaping her son. In his memoir, Just As I Am, that's the name of the book, Graham tells how his mother was essential in the spiritual formation of her children. She provided a sense of family stability and unity, and he says, we really care about each other, and we treated and we liked to do things together. But it was her faith and devotion that shaped them more than anything. According to Graham, all of the people I have ever known, this is his quote, she had the greatest influence on me. I'm sure that one reason that the Lord has directed and safeguarded me, as well as Ruth and the children, through the years was the prayers of my mother and father. So now you look at Louis and Eunice, pouring to Timothy, and you look at this example, and like that, there are many. And I don't think that Timothy's grandma and mom were, or Billy Graham's mom and so forth, I don't think they were pouring into their kids to make him the next big evangelist. And say, oh, here you go. We had the recipe for the next great speaker. No, they just did it because it was their ministry. And God fulfilled that ministry to their kids. They didn't get the spotlight. They didn't get the pulpit. Oh, but the work that they did is what enabled those who now today even stand here. Amen? Super important. So, moms, grandmas, you have the very same opportunity as Billy Graham, as Timothy's grandma and mom. They had your ministry. Again, while it may not be in the spotlight, who cares? It's super vital. It's so vital to the gospel, to the church, to society. You are one of the greatest warriors in the kingdom of God. You are. Keep that in mind and take it. Again, I don't think they thought, oh, we're going to raise the next, person that's going to fill up stadiums like Billy Graham did, and millions are going to hear the gospel because of what I'm doing. No. They just did it. And God took that and multiplied. And that's what the Lord does. We just don't know. We just don't know what the Lord will do with the work that we do for our kids. Moms, you guys are powerful, and you guys have that we dads don't have. Okay? Ask my kids. They usually run to mom before me. So, personally, I grew up, and my grandma, who's probably watching this one, I don't know, maybe the first service, I don't know. She was praying all the time. We lived in Costa Rica, which is where I was born and raised, and we had those old chairs, I don't know if you've seen them, that have like the wooden sticks in the back, they go up to this high, and they have a pad in the middle, like a foam thing wrapped with vinyl. You just sit in there, you get all sweaty. I mean, who would do that? Well, I remember this vividly. She ripped off one of the pads from one of the chairs. And it's like, there's one chair missing. I said, what happened? It's like, there's a hole in the chair. And it was padded. And she wrote in it with a Sharpie, a marker, a place to pray. Mm-hmm. And she had that by her bed. And that's where she knelt to pray for us kids. In fact, I remember like it was yesterday. I would sneak up on her room because, it was mayhem with all the kids and everything in the house. And we were always looking for grandma. And I snuck up, and I could hear her praying. I cracked the door, and I see she's on that pad on her knees. And she's praying, and she would pray out loud for each of us kids, and her kids and the grandkids. But she would spend at least 2 to 3 minutes per kid. I mean, she wouldn't do like I do, and Eli, and he'd emphasize. So I remember, as a young child, I would stay by that door. She didn't know I was there. And I will wait to hear my name. I didn't care about the rest. I wanted to hear my name. And she would pray for me. And I would hear how she would pray. And when she was done, I took off and played. Those prayers, till this day, as they happen even this morning when I texted her and told her I was going to be like, may grace be with you. And I have a text from her. I'm praying. Those prayers, moms, grandmas, those prayers, they're powerful. Same as Eunice and Lewis. So she would put Bible verses throughout the house, which was kind of weird, but she did. And on the fridge, a white fridge, all beat up, had a blue and white sticker on the top right corner. Acts 16:31, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you and your house will be saved. That verse is ingrained into my DNA. You know, Philippian jailer, Paul tells me, what must I do to be saved? I knew that verse before I was a Christian because she had it there in front of us. That's what she did. I could tell you a story about her, crazy story, abusive husband, all that, but it doesn't matter. What matters is that she did what she could, what she had. She had the word of God and she prayed for us. And you can see in her life, the faith remains, and God has done great things with her prayers and her faithfulness. I want to encourage you with that. The ministry that Lewis and Eunice started, Paul continued it. And you could be very well bringing up a child right now that one day the Lord's going to use mightily. You just don't know. You just don't know what the Lord will do, but we do it. This culture, this country, this world needs Christian kids. I've been watching and seeing. I do the youth, as you know. And we have great kids in the youth, by the way. But my heart sinks and it hurts when I see some kids out there. They need a godly example at home. They do. The ministry that you're doing is vital. Perhaps you're here, you're watching it online, and you're a single mom. And you're raising children on your own. And it is hard. And you say, well, Raul, what do you know? Well, I'm not a mom, but I was raised by one, a single mom and a grandma. And it was hard. Oh, it was a grind. It was painful. From about when I was 3 years old or so is when my mom was, everything went down. And she had two kids, 18 months, two boys, 18 months apart at 20 years old. And she had to do something. And she's worked. It was hard. And, I can just say only God kept me growing up. Only the Lord, through the prayers of my grandma, kept me. And I don't know what would have been of me had I not had a godly grandma. I looked at some data. In 2023, last year, in the United States, 15 million children are living with a single mom. See, in my mind, I have to put it with a footprint. I need to see, okay, what would that look like? Okay, let me give you a picture in your mind. Go to the Cowboys Stadium, 100,000 people, fill that up 150 times with children. That's how many, 15 million children without a dad, single mom, are being raised in this country. That's a lot. It's a lot. Growing up, again, my mom had to work. So my grandma, when we lived nearby, would put us down to sleep. And it was hard because she would put a 7 and a 5-year-old, I'm just trying to do the math, and she would put us to sleep, lock the door, and go. And we were terrified being left alone until my mom got home from work. And she would quote this verse because she knew we were scared. I thought I was going to keep it together for the second service, but Psalm 4:8. It says, I will both lie down and sleep. Oh, no, I'm sorry. I will both lie down in peace and sleep. For you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. She will quote that every single night to my brother and I as we were scared. And she would pray for angels to be in those windows and those doors of that apartment. I don't know, but I'm telling you, if I had to spiritualize, there was probably an army of angels surrounding that room because all those years, we were kept. She was speaking the word of God to us. I didn't even realize that was a Bible verse until I got saved. Then I read it, I'm like, wait a minute, this looks familiar. It was ingrained in my mind all those nights that she put us to sleep, speaking the word of God to her grandkids. Gave us that peace. We fell asleep. How? Only the Lord did it. But she poured the word of God into us. I got to tell you, That verse kept us many, many nights safe. Something when the word of God is spoken to your kids. Something. It's a dynamic, as I said earlier during my prayers. It's life. The word of God is life. It's powerful. Sharper than any two-edged sword. It breaks down the walls that we have up, and it pierces. And that and those little young boys in that house by themselves gave them peace. Later in life, actually a few years back, she would tell me that she would walk off and she would hear us and she would be crying on her way home because she couldn't stay back. God was there. God kept us. So, single moms, God has a heart for you. Okay, Raul, prove it. Okay, glad you asked. If you look at first, you don't have to turn there, but in 1 Kings 17, starting in verse 8 through 15, we find the story of Elijah. Remember, Elijah had been fed by ravens in the beginning part of the chapter, and then the brook dried up, and God told Elijah to go over to a widow and ask for food. You know the story. He goes, hey, give me some food, Elijah says. And he said, well, you know, I was just gathering some sticks to cook with the last little bit of flour and oil here, one last meal for my son, single mom, and I, that we may die. And Elijah, you know the story. He said, well, cook something for me first, and then we'll go from there. And God did a miracle, right? The flour and the oil never stopped. But did God need the widow to provide for Elijah? No, he used ravens five verses before to feed him. He could have just had a raven bring Elijah In-N-Out burger. And so it would have been fine. Which it would have been In-N-Out burger, by the way. I'm kidding. But he sent her for her. He sent him for her. Does that make sense? To provide for her. He's not limited. Okay. Luke 7, verses 11 through 17, it says this. This is now Jesus. Now, it happened that the day after, this is after Jesus does a healing, that he went into a city called Nain, and many of his disciples went with him in a large crowd. Verse 12, and when he came near the gate of the city, behold, a dead man was being carried out, the only son of his mother, single mom. And she was a widow, and a large crowd from the city was with her. And verse 13 says, when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said to her, do not weep. Then he came and touched the open coffin. And those who carried him stood still. And he said, young man, I say to you, arise. So he who was dead sat up and began to speak. And he presented him to his mother. So you see, a widow in 1 Kings 17, and her last meal, a single mom, the Lord sends the prophet to provide for her. A widow in a procession to bury her son, single mom, and the Lord meets her. He has compassion. See, God cares about single moms. It's in the Bible, okay? God cares. God is the one who sees. He said to Hagar, I am El Roy, the God who sees. But the same God who sees is the God who provides, Jehovah Jireh. I'm telling you, by all calculations and statistics, I should have been a lost cause, a mess, a wreck. You got the perfect storm. No dad, single mom, always working, left to himself. It shouldn't have been. But God intervened. And in the fullness of time, as Galatians says, when he came, see, God is in the business of restoring. God is in the business of redeeming the years the locust has eaten. It's like a perfect story. God comes and takes a mess and uses it for his glory. I was yesterday cleaning a room, which I'll tell you about that room in a minute, and I found this piece of pottery that I bought years ago. When Eli was about 4 or 5 years old, maybe four, there at the church that we were going to, they had an activity for Easter weekend, and they had a potter. And this potter had the clay and the wheel, and he's doing this. And I always liked the potter. It's like my favorite thing I'm going to grow up one day and be like somebody that does pottery. You can find me there, Pastor Raul. Like, and I said, this is a teaching moment for my son. I don't have a lot of those, but I'm like, so I tell the people that were making pottery, they had pieces already finished and shiny and all that. I said, I want the most messed up one, that one. I pointed up to one that looked all messed up. It was a vase. And she's like, it's not messed up. It's like artsy. I'm like, no, it's messed up. It was, I wish I would have brought it, but it's not pretty. And I said, son, look, this is what God does. The world will pick the shiny one. The one with no blemishes, perfectly painted. That's what the world goes for. Right? You go to the grocery store, you don't pick the tomatoes all rotten and beat up. You scarf and you look for the good one, the red one. Right? That's what we do. I said, but this is what God does. He picks the messed up ones. And then he fills them with his spirit. And the world goes like, what in the world is this? It's like, it's God. But God. Yeah. Amen? So, with all that, God sees you. He takes, he redeems. And I have something I want to read to you, moms. Years ago, someone sent me this. And she said, this is probably 10 years ago. He's like, well, I'll tell you. Send me this poem. And it says, you screenshot this so you can read it later. So I don't even know where, I don't even know how I found this. I was preparing for this. And I'm like, the Lord put this in my heart. I went through my old photos in my phone, and somehow I found it. I was going to type it all in a Word document. I'm like, that's going to take too long. So I'm going to read you my screenshot. But this is for you, moms. It's called When You Thought I Wasn't Looking. When you thought I wasn't looking, I saw you hang my first painting on the refrigerator, and I immediately wanted to paint another. When you thought I wasn't looking, I saw you make my favorite cake for me, and I learned that the little things can be the special things in life. When you thought I wasn't looking, I saw you make a meal and take it to a friend who was sick, and I learned what it means to serve one another in brotherly love. When you thought I wasn't looking, I heard you pray over me and kiss me goodnight, and I felt loved and safe. When you thought I wasn't looking, I saw how you handled your responsibilities, even when you didn't feel good, and I learned what it means to glorify God in all things. When you thought I wasn't looking, I saw you give of your time and money to the church and people in need, and I learned that God loves a cheerful giver. When you thought I wasn't looking, I saw tears come to your eyes, and I learned that sometimes things hurt, but it's all right to cry. When you thought I wasn't looking, I saw you cared, and I wanted to be everything that I could be. When you thought I wasn't looking, I saw you praying and reading God's word, and I learned to depend and trust in him too. When you thought I wasn't looking, I looked at you and wanted to say thanks for all the things I saw when you thought I wasn't looking. Amen. That's you, moms. Kids are watching. Your example is huge. Your ministry is vital. The impact is far greater than that we will ever know. Maybe in this side of eternity, maybe we'll go on to meet Jesus and the grandkids that stand behind. We'll meet them in heaven. You know what I mean? You'll see it. It's so important that we have today. Now, I live in Justin. Recently, we moved to Justin about a year ago. And there's a dentist that moved in town. And he put a new building, and he put a Texas-sized flagpole. I mean, you can see that flag from space. It is very Texan. Everything is bigger, right? And with that flagpole, a very ginormous flag, right? So he's kind of, I actually know him. I coached his son in soccer, and really nice guy. But for every holiday, he puts a different flag. So for St. Patrick's Day, he put a green flag with the little guy. I said, okay, that's cute. And for Valentine's, he put a flag with hearts and his love. And then for Mother's Day, he did not disappoint. He has a ginormous pink flag that says, call your mother. And all the ladies are like, amen. And I thought, you know, why do we have to remind us kids to call our moms? Is it that we can forget? Is it that we can get too busy? Is it that they're no longer needed? They're a liability. They're difficult. There is no disclaimer where they stop being your mom. Nowhere in the Bible. See, now the moms are like, yeah, preach it, brother. I said, yeah. In Exodus 20:12, in the fifth commandment, you know it, God says, honor your father and your mother, that the days in the land that you go will be long. It's a commandment from God to honor our moms. It's a commandment from God. It's not man that made this up. It's God's word, and it's in the Ten Commandments. Jesus quoted this fifth commandment to the rich young ruler. We are to honor our moms. Now, I'm going to share a story that I was neglecting to share at the risk of someone saying, well, good for you. Pat yourself on the back. You're such a holy roller. And that is not my intention. I was talking to my dear friend yesterday, and he's like, I hope you shared that story. I said, well, I don't want to come across boasting. He's like, when you're honoring your mom in this day and age is worth boasting about. So, as I said, we moved into Justin about a year ago, and the reason for that was not just so that we would be in a bigger home, although it is nice to have land, or you know, be a step up in society. For the few years, the last few years, we've been realizing that out of the three kids, my brother, my sister, and I, my wife and I are the best positioned to help my mom. In 43 years of life, I cannot recall a day that she has not lived paycheck to paycheck. 43 years. She's taken a few vacations in life. That's all. She, even till today, is paycheck to paycheck, raising kids on her own. So we were hoping that we could find a place in Texas where, you know, they have a house in the back or something to where, you know, we can take that weight off of her. And we kind of just keep hitting walls, and, you know, all the Californians moving to Texas, they're raising their prices, man. I'm no longer a Californian. I've been here 7 years. The statute of limitations has expired on me. I'm kidding. It's a joke. And some Texans go like, no, it's not a joke. But anyway, we stopped looking because I just kind of got weary. And I prayed. I said, Lord, if you want us to find a place for my mom, you're going to have to bring it to us. Not for my mom, but so that my mom can. I think, as my wife is here and she's my witness, within 2 weeks, a lady said, you know, my uncle is selling his house and it's perfect for you. I said, oh. This guy built a home in 2016 for his parents, older parents, with an apartment with its own garage, dog run, kitchen, laundry, walk-in closet, living room, just perfect, completely separate. And I said, well, my house sold in 7 days for top dollar. All these things had to line up. And everything, within a month and a half, we were there. It was crazy. But it was the Lord. What did I do? Nothing. Well, I cleaned the house and took pictures, right? Made it look pretty to sell. But the Lord brought the buyer and the family that sold it to us, great people. And I said, I'm buying this for my mom so that she can be here. I'm going to take you a picture when she moves in and you can see it. So would you do that for me? I said, yeah. It was the Lord. What did I do? Nothing. I said, Lord, this is what, if you want me to honor my mom and help her, you do it. And he did. Guys, when you want to do God's will, he will help you. Because God's will is that we honor our moms. See, I didn't want to share this story because it's like, oh, yeah, good for you. And I've been mean to my mom. Well, repent and move forward, okay? But my angle is not to make anyone feel bad in this place, but the contrary is that when you put God, you say, Lord, I want to do what you want me to do. You open the doors. He did it. Amen. So, needless to say, a week from tomorrow, the six of us are jumping in my wife's car and we're driving to Florida to go pick her up. So, pray for me. We got two cars to drive back, two dogs, and mom. So it's going to be a journey. But it's going to be worth it. So, is it going to be perfect? I don't know. Well, Raul, was your mom perfect all this year? No. Did she make mistakes? Yes. God is bigger than our mistakes. Jesus gave us the example. In John 19, verses 25 through 27. And you know what? We have time. Can you please turn there with me? John 19, 25 to 27. Marshall, I love the Bible pages flipped too.
Amen, brother.
It sounds really good from here. It says, John 19, verse 25. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. Verse 26. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing by, which is John, he said to his mother, Woman, behold your son. And then he said to the disciple, Behold your mother. And from that hour, that disciple took her to his own home. If you glance a few lines down, you're going to see the words, It is finished, in your Bible. The last act that Jesus did from the cross, as he was about to redeem us and pay, was to take care of his mom. Yes. Joseph is not around, because if Joseph, her husband, would have been around, he would not have to find John to take care of her. We don't hear from Joseph. Last time we hear, I think, is when he was 12 years old. Remember, he stayed back. We don't hear from Joseph. I could be wrong, but I don't think from that point. Maybe he died early. Must have been. Now she's going to be alone. And Jesus takes care of mom. The last thing he does. See, I don't have this intellect in me. I'm not that. The Lord gave me this. It's like, look, I took care of my mom. So you're okay to talk about this. I'm like, yes, yes, yes. Of course, he took care of his mom. We are to take care of our mom. We are to take care of our moms. I didn't have the perfect mom. I'm sure in the room you could say the same thing. But God will enable you and give you what you need if you want to honor your mom. We need to honor our moms. In closing, maybe you're here and you're watching and you're hearing me talk about this. And maybe you are a daughter or a son that has wondered. Maybe you're a prodigal. Let me tell you something. I wasn't supposed to share this one, but Pastor Bill said 6,000 stories, so I'm going to share one more. And he just came to me, so this is for someone, I know it. When I was 18, I went partying one night, and it wasn't good. I wasn't saved until I was 20. And I got in trouble. And long story short, I looked so bad that I had to call my uncles to bring me clothes to change. Because I didn't want my grandma, the one that prayed for me all those years, I didn't want her to see me in the state that I was. And they showed up and gave me clean clothes and everything. And I showed up at home. They were wondering where I was all night. It was not good. But my uncle said, Why didn't you call? Because I was out of it. He said, Ita, which is my grandma, stayed all night with the phone in her hand, waiting for you to call. You didn't call. That made me feel worse than how I felt before. And I learned something that day, even as a non-believer, that moms just never stop caring. And grandmas never stop caring. So perhaps you're someone like I was when I was 18. And you'd seen your mom's tears and your grandma's tears. You were watching online or you're here. I don't know. Trust me. Take care. And you will bring great joy if you knock it off and come back to Jesus. Perhaps May 12th, 2024 is the day that you come home. Perhaps, I'm not trying to manufacture anything, perhaps this is the day that your mom has the best Mother's Day. As you come back home, come to Lord. You know, you were taught, you know what I'm talking about. I plead with you, don't waste any more time. Moms and mom-like figures, before we close, could I pray for you? And Father, I thank you for this time. I know it's your word, Lord. I don't know how it speaks to anyone in this room, but I do pray, Lord, for every mom, every single mom, every grandma, every mother figure in this room or listening online. I pray that even now, you would pour your spirit upon them. You would give them peace. You would give them hope. You anoint them. You give them strength, Lord, when they're tired, when they feel like giving up, give them strength. Sustain them. Provide for them, Lord, like you did with a widow. Provide for them. I place them all in your hands and all those sons and daughters that perhaps are prodigals. Lord, would you bring them home today? We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. So